first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. Hit me up on that text line. We'll get to your text over the next few segments. So stick around for that as well. Joining us now on the line, he represents the 1st Congressional District, our good friend, Congressman Barry Moore. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, we are doing good. Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, thank you for coming on. We always appreciate it. We'll kick it off here. I mean, we're kind of watching from afar. You're right there in the thick of it. You got a CR on the, considered by the Senate. But how are things going in general?
You know, I think really well, and I think to the Speaker's credit and to the President's credit, us getting a CR and moving it to the Senate and then adjourning was the right thing to do. It puts the pressure, and they are in the minority, and I think that John Thune's going to hold their feet to the fire. And, you know, last time President Trump did a pretty darn good job of wrapping the shutdown, and he called it the Schumer shutdown. And so I don't think we'll see a shutdown. I think they do fold at the end of the day. But they've got it. You've got this kind of political theater going on where Schumer and those guys kind of act like they're, you know, or they're going to push back. I just don't think they have any room to wiggle on this. And honestly, most of the programs that would shut down, there's far more of the Democratic voters going to be impacted with that than the Republican voters. So I think we're in a good position, and I think it's what we needed to do to make sure that we can keep President Trump and his agenda moving forward, keep the progress that is raising his polling numbers, the work that they're doing, keep it moving forward, and make sure that we deliver for the American people. We have a short window here, and we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and they're having to say one thing to their base and do another thing. You know, I guess we'll see a breakthrough probably tomorrow. And that's what it sounds like to me. But it's not like they can send it back to the House, right? They adjourned, and it's all in their hands. And then if it goes, if they can't get it done, the government shuts down, it seems.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, the Senate's been great. When Schumer was in charge in the last few years when we had Biden in the White House, they were always jamming the House of Representatives. But this time, I think Mike Johnson, President Trump, have been strong in their leadership, and we were able to get the votes to get the CR. Now, look, a lot of us don't like CRs. I don't typically vote for them. But the bigger picture is, how do we accomplish the agenda that President Trump ran on? How do we keep the government moving forward and finding the ways, fraud and abuse? And this was the way to do that. And I think by leaving it in the Senate's lap and jamming them like Schumer and Biden were so good at doing to us, President Trump, Mike Johnson, and leadership has been able in the House to reverse that trend. And I think it's great for the American people.
Well, and, you know, so this sets the stage for like the, what were we talking about with Congressman Palmer yesterday? The big, beautiful bill, getting a lot of things done. I mean, this is sort of the, this opens the path to get that nailed down, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And I think that's the point. I mean, it's the long-term goal is to bend that deficit curve and start it back down so we can get the federal government within a budget that makes sense and we're not running deficit spending numbers every year. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you look at it, we, you know, people talk about $36 trillion in debt, where I think it's about $105,000 a second. And a lot of that was COVID, just waste, fraud, and abuse. And so, I mean, you're starting to see that with those. We're starting to uncover. I voted last year to cut USAID in half. And, you know, we didn't get the support in the House for that, but we saw the fraud there. We're seeing the fraud in systems and programs. I mean, literally, when you got former Joe Biden staffers setting up a P.O. box for vaccines and the last few months getting $28 million, just two former Joe Biden staffers set up a P.O. box as a vaccine company. Those kind of things need to be uncovered. That's why we need to keep the government moving forward, get this waste, fraud, and abuse under control. I really believe Elon's going to save us $1 trillion. That's kind of what he told the Speaker he could do. The rest is up to us. Trump wants his tax cuts, so we got to make sure we're moving forward. We're giving small businesses the tax cuts because some of those will expire. So we got to make sure those are in place. He wants to do away with tax on tips. There are some things that he wants to do that I think make sense. And so, but at the same time, we've got to cut some of the spending and that's going overseas and out of this country and leave that in the taxpayers' pockets and allow them to stimulate this economy here in this country.
Well, and I asked, this is a question I would ask, and I saw it was kind of unprecedented, the House Green of Caucus coming out the way that they did for the CR, but I get the sense that there's not as quite as much turmoil in the Republican caucus right now at this point. At least it's not being blown up by the media. Sometimes I think they exaggerate it to create a false perception. But you know, just outside looking in, it looks like things are going fairly as well as one could be it could expect.
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally different dynamic, Jeff. I mean, when President Biden was in the White House and Schumer was in the Senate, we House Freedom Caucus guys were like, wait, let's fight this every step of the way. And sometimes we felt like the Republicans in the House maybe were caving a little under the pressure. But now that President Trump's in the White House, remember his last two chief of staff were House Freedom Caucus guys. And so he trusts us, but at the same time, it's bigger than House Freedom Caucus. It's bigger than any one member. It's about the country. And how do we push in the direction that works with the president to help us accomplish the goals that the American people elected us to accomplish? And so I think you're seeing that dynamic. I'm sure the House Freedom Caucus, we want to work with President Trump every step of the way. Most of us are very strong supporters of his. And like I said, his last two chiefs come out of that. I mean, Russ Vaught, the director of OMB, we in House Freedom Caucus love that guy. He handles the budget. He handles the numbers. He does the right thing. We appreciate what Elon is doing. We've met with him and President Trump. We appreciate that he's doing this for free and trying to fix so many of the things. You know, the media tries to paint Elon as this evil guy, but that's the same media that told us Joe Biden was mentally competent. They've lost their credibility. And I think for what Elon's doing and what the president's doing, it is going to be the most dynamic first year of any presidency in recent history, maybe in our country's history, rather than maybe some of the founding fathers. This is going to be dynamic in a sense that we're actually given government control back to the American people rather than centralizing power in Washington, D.C. And we're going to vet out this spending and this waste, and we're going to put that money back in the taxpayers' pockets.
Well, and, you know, let me ask you this, because my fear, this is the fear, but it seems like less of a threat right now. Some of your colleagues start watching the media. They start reading inside the Beltway press. And they get a little wobbly, but it's almost like a sea change with the November election and realizing that the media, they don't matter. You don't have to buy into their conventional wisdom anymore. You can stick with what you know is right and not have to worry about just this this crash in public opinion. If you don't go along with it and you stick to your guns, that all that stuff will take care of itself.
Yeah, I mean, the legacy media, Jeff, in this country is dead for all intent purposes. They have lost their credibility completely because I think to President Trump's credit, and I think to some of the folks within his inner circle, getting him on podcasts, the Joe Rogans of the world, get him on those shows where there's listeners out there that actually get to hear a one-on-one conversation between him and Elon Musk. When they did that call, there was millions upon millions of people that listen to that. That has a much bigger impact than CNN audience or the MSNBC audience. And plus, when you look at Trump's polling numbers, he won every swing state. We've talked about that. I think there is a mandate for him to deliver. And he's the kind of guy that just, if he says he's going to do it, he will do it. I've seen it time and time again. And so I think when he says, hey, members of Congress, trust me, our polling numbers are up. If the legacy media comes out against the Republican somewhere, I think President Trump has enough swing within the districts, but also within the D.C. Beltway to get things moving. And he will make the phone calls that need to be made to make sure that his agenda and those members who may not be comfortable, maybe a little nervous about what the media might say, they have cover moving forward.
Well, that is, like, I got to think that, like, your internal polling there on Capitol Hill, that you it's not showing the drop off that number one is we've traditionally seen at probably this stage of a new president. But number two, like it contradicts some of the, I think some of this other polling the media are doing, particularly CNN trying to shape the narrative You look at their crosstabs, and you can just see they're framing the questions in such a way to elicit a response that's very hostile or negative toward this administration. But when you ask the questions honestly, just trying to find out, like, where the public is, I would have to think, it just seems this way, that there's a lot of support for the first 100 days thus far.
For sure. I think Trump's, like you said, he's polling higher than any president. They don't, that downward, that honeymoon thing is not, it's not going away. And I think too, Jeff, if you look at 3 weeks straight, the gas prices have dropped. I mean, eggs have dropped $1.86 a gallon. We ran on saying this was a gas and groceries election. And so the consumer, the everyday American just citizen, is out there at the gas pump, and they're seeing the president get these things to deliver on what he said he's going to do. But also they're watching as Doge says, yeah, this was a waste of $100 million here and $28 million there and $1 billion here and $1 billion there. And they're starting to say, wow, you know, all of these things that nobody knew about, we're starting to pull the veil back. And I think we've, Jeff, it's such a big, big opportunity for us. We've got to look, and I know people want to move. We want to always talk about moving forward, but we've got to look back to and find out exactly what was going on in 2021 and the raiding of the man's home and the spying on U.S. citizens. And it just how the government was weaponized and how the misinformation was pushed out. There needs to be investigations. So yeah, we want to move forward, but we want to make sure there's accountability for those people who the 51 Intel assets that signed on the letter saying that that was Russian disinformation, the laptop, all of those things, those people need to be held accountable. And many of them, their security clearances have been revoked already. But I don't think we stopped there. I think there was literally, and what about the RoboPen? It was signing all those documents. So we've got 81 million votes. We've got this RoboPen signing all these documents. And then we've got these Intel assets working to overthrow or to throw an election. We cannot just simply say, yeah, that's fine. We're gonna look past that and move forward. We need to move forward. But at the same time, there needs to be justice for people who abuse the system, who came after U.S. citizens, who came after a duly elected president, a former president, tried to put him in prison and tried to kill him later. We need to know about these things. And we cannot play nice as Republicans, because they will immediately, if they have the majority in the House, they will impeach him again. And so we can't just take our foot off the gas. We want to do the right thing. We'll do it in a legal manner. But we cannot simply look forward. We have to clean up the mess and hold some people accountable.
Yeah, you know, the RoboPen has come up a lot lately in the news cycle. I mean, is there any recourse if this was the case, Congressman, if Joe Biden was just totally unaware of what was going on in his surroundings and his staffers were having a RoboPen sign executive orders? I mean, that's troubling. And how much of that, you know, is it impacting policy right now as we speak?
So much of it, I think. And like I said, I talk about this money that was taken, the $28 million that was taken the last few months of the presidency under Biden. We have to get to the bottom of that kind of stuff. And we know, I mean, most of us could tell that mentally he was declining pretty rapidly, and he was shaking hands with people who didn't exist. And now we're just wondering what was going on. You had this weird election. You had these RoboPen signing these documents. You had all these people working against the former president and his political opponent. We will have to have Pam Bondi and the attorney general go after those things. And certainly I think Cash Patel, the FBI, is going to do his part to help. And so Cash has been very forthcoming with us on Judiciary Committee on documents. They're not stonewall, and they're bringing this stuff to us. And so we're going to begin to make specific requests to get some information on some issues. But I think that RoboPen, like you said, that's kind of come out in the last few weeks. Who, in fact, was running the country for the last 3.5 years? That's what we want to know. And who was behind the process of going after President Trump and trying to put him in prison and try to overthrow elections? What was going on? This is much bigger than just, yeah, we got to fix the waste, fraud, and abuse, not just in spending, but in areas of the government that where we saw it actually seize power and basically move forward without the will of the American people.
Well, you know, as far as Congress's role here in that, I mean, House Judiciary or wherever oversight, I mean, is that where we're going to, is that kind of where Republicans are going to start leaning into here in the coming months?
Yeah, I think Overside will find most of the spending. I think that'll be where they'll go, and that'll be the areas they'll be looking into. And then I think Judiciary, we're going to look at the Justice Department, some of the things that were done, the FBI and how those, you know, pro-life Catholics were targeted, as well as just parents who wanted to know what was going on at school board meetings, how they made terrorist watch lists. You know, those are the kind of things that I think the Judiciary Committee will be working on. Oversight's going to probably pursue the waste, the fraud, the abuse, where the money went, how it was spent, and who do we go after there, who do we subpoena, who do we get in to find out exactly, and who do we hold accountable at the end of the day for stealing American taxpayer money.
We'll wrap it up on this, Congressman, and you know, so much of right now, the obsession is the economic policy and tariffs, and at some point, though, that policy is going to bear some kind of fruit. As they say, you're going to have to go through pain right now, but I don't think it's enough pain. It'll take the media and their messaging to try to make it seem really worse than it is, but I got to think at some point, they're going to have to back off of that, it's going to change sort of the direction of the economy. And I would think that this is going to pay off in the end.
Oh, for sure. I think anytime we reinvest in America, producers and the workers here in this country, yeah, there'll be a little hiccup here and there. I mean, we expect that. And often the markets try to go out and predict what's going to happen. I mean, you'll see, these markets will be betting down the road on trends, and they're not always accurate. But I think over time, what we'll see is that certainly the markets will they'll appreciate the fact that President Trump's bringing production back to the U.S. These billions of dollars are going to be reinvested in American infrastructure and production. And just like I said, the money that we've been sending overseas to all these foreign countries for infrastructure in the U.S. to grow the economy, those are the kind of things that take time. It didn't get broke overnight. All that money being sent, that's not going to be paid back overnight. We're working on that with this CR. But over time, Jeff, I think we'll see the markets and the American people. I mean, like I said, we're already seeing it at gas pumps. We're all seeing it on egg prices. If we quit spending money like drunk sailors, inflation will kind of control itself. Interest rates will adjust accordingly. But at the same time, I think over time, the markets will appreciate that. And again, most of what the media, because of their credibility issues, are saying, the American people are not buying.
Congressman, we're up for just a break, but I'm so glad you could make time for us to hop on this morning. Let's do it again real soon.
Hey, no problem. Thank you, Jeff. Have a great weekend.
Congressman Barry Moore, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Mona tried to tell me to stay away from the train line. She said that all the railroad up your blood like wine.